By way of an outline, I should perhaps mention that the Los Alamos activities in computing developed along three lines. Utilization during the war years of accounting machines for simple, highly repetitive computations, followed by the utilization of more sophisticated computers as they became available in the post-war period. Secondly, the utilization of modern computers at various sites external to the laboratory. And thirdly, the design, construction, and utilization of computers by laboratory staff. The war years are discussed briefly. Under external utilization, an account is given of the test phase of the ENIAC that consisted in part of a relatively ambitious computation of a thermonuclear problem. In addition, a description is given of the conversion of the ENIAC to a stored program mode of operation, this being a change from the parallel operation to the serial type of operation. Part three describes the integrated program of research and development of computers and their utilization at the laboratory. The close coupling among the various aspects was a principal point of the project and had many productive consequences. As the algorithmic and system studies began to grow, for example, the MATCAP sequence, they also became a part of the highly interdependent overall structure. So much for the outline. With all the nonlinear partial differential equations pervading this rarefied atmosphere from the very beginning of the Los Alamos project, it was inevitable that the laboratory would suffer total immersion in computing. And I should like to give a brief account of this inexorable fate. During the war period, accounting machines, mostly IBMs, were adapted to highly repetitive, but as I said earlier, relatively simple calculations. At each stage, the latest machines were sought and a gradual expansion continued into the post-war years. The pressure for ever improved capability has always maintained a high level, so that in the closing year of the war, Los Alamos was seeking computational aid beyond the laboratory, starting with the ENIAC. Parallel to these two developments, a third emerged in late 1948, namely a program to design, build, maintain, and utilize a computer transcending existing capabilities. This interaction between design builders on the one hand and users on the other proved to be a healthy and stimulating one and made for good progress. In due course, the software people began to interact with the other two types to the advantage of all. The time period covered here is through the 50s. Well, let me begin with the war years briefly. Initially, the theorists here did their own computing on desk machines. Their maintenance is an amusing facet of Feynman history that we must pass over. Gradually, a group of women were ably trained by the remarkable Donald Flanders, affectionately known as Moll. They did the sophisticated computing. It was Dana P. Mitchell who first suggested in early 1944 that accounting machines of that vintage be used at Los Alamos. As a member on leave from the Columbia Physics faculty, he was aware of the utilization made by his astronomer colleague, Wallace Eckert. In short order, an arsenal of IBM's finest was installed under the aegis of Stan Frankel and Eldred Nelson. Not long after, Hans Bethe, head of the theoretical division, asked Dick Feynman and me to join that management. With Alamogordo a part of history, a new phase for the computing center began with contributions from Dick Hamming, Preston Hammer, Dick Stark, followed by Bengt Carlson, and Max Goldstein, with Bengt holding forth for the longest period. Quietly in the background, overseeing that evolution, was Carson Mark, longtime head of the theoretical division in the post-war period, whose contributions have been much underestimated. The sophistication of the Computation Center was directly related to the progress at IBM and the march of CPCs, 701s, 704s, 79s, 790s, 7094, and others was a continual one, often with several copies. Later, control data was to have its day with its 6600s and 7600s. I'd like now to turn to the external resources that we made use of. Von Neumann was a consultant at Los Alamos, as has been mentioned, essentially from the beginning. He was also one at the Aberdeen Proving Ground, in particular the Ballistics Research Laboratory. In early 1945, he informed Edward Teller, Stan Frankel, and me about the ENIAC nearing completion at the Moore School of the University of Pennsylvania. He raised the question whether the relatively ambitious computational problems might be put on that computer. With this great clarity of expression and thoroughness, Johnny described the design and implementation of this fantastic undertaking by Eckert and Mockley team. Naturally, we were mesmerized by the prospects. A preliminary visit was arranged for Frankel and me, and we were briefed by Herman and Adele Goldstein. The arrangements made were that we could attempt the first problem on the ENIAC if, one, we prepared the flow diagram. Two, we programmed it on the computer. We would then try to debug it, and finally, we would try running it. The reciprocity in the arrangement was that our computations would provide a rather comprehensive test, some 95% of the control capacity of the ENIAC on this shakedown cruise. No better opportunity could have been provided a pair of neophytes than this. It was a stimulating way to learn to operate that electronic labyrinth, and thanks to the malfunctions that were detected, to gain a detailed knowledge of its construction. Anthony Turkovich was to join us in this effort. In the course of this extended stay at the Moore School, there were many occasions for long conversations with Eckert and Mockley and some of their staff, especially Arthur Burks, Chuan Chu, that we just heard from, and Harry Husky, to name a few. Already the focus was on the next stage of development, namely the EDVAC. By the time we left, we had learned much more than we had any reason to suspect. This exposure to such a marvelous machine, coupled in short order to the Alamogordo experience, was so singular that it was difficult to attribute any reality to either. As an aside, I've often wondered that it's really interesting to contemplate how different even global events might have been if some commercial computer company had undertaken the design and construction of an electronic computer in, say, the ENIAC class, which would have been available before World War II. Certainly, the electronic components used in ENIAC were available. On one of his many visits to Los Alamos around 1947, von Neumann described the suggestion of Richard Clippinger of the Ballistics Research Laboratory that the ENIAC might be converted into a limited stored program mode of operation instead of its gigantic plug board mode distributed over the entire machine as described by Arthur Burks earlier. The idea was that the so-called function tables, of which we saw some photographs, normally used to store some 312 decimal digit numbers set by manual switches, could be used to store up to 1,800 two decimal digit pairs, and that they could be interrogated sequentially, including loops, each pair corresponding to an instruction. Thus, one could go from one problem to another much more efficiently. Adele Goldstein at Princeton indeed started to plan the background control to implement this form of control. But halfway through this stage, it was apparent that the control capacity of the ENIAC was not to be sufficient. However, on a visit to the ENIAC in early 1948 in preparation for its use after its move from Philadelphia, I was briefed by Homer Spence, the quiet but effective chief engineer, about some of their plans. And he mentioned the construction of a new panel to augment one of the logical operations. It was a one input, 100 output matrix. It occurred to me that if this could be used to interpret the instruction pairs in the proposed control mode, then it would release a sufficiently large portion of the control units to perhaps realize the new mode of operation. When I mentioned this to von Neumann, he asked if I would be willing to take over the project, since Adele had by this time lost interest. And so with the help of Clary von Neumann, plans were revised and completed, and we undertook to implement them on the ENIAC. And in a fortnight, this was achieved. Our set of problems, the first Monte Carlos, were run in the new mode. Subsequently, Jack Hawken, Foster and Serta Evans, and Jerry Saddam were to utilize the ENIAC for another extensive series of problems. So you see, in some ways, this is at variance with some of the remarks due to Clippinger about the efficiency, or at least so I interpret it. The demand at Los Alamos for larger, faster, and more sophisticated computers continued unabated. In the post-war years, in addition to the ENIAC, access was gained to the SEAC of the NBC, National Bureau of Standards, and NBS, in Washington, the UNIVAC in Philadelphia, and SWAC, another NBS machine in Los Angeles, shortly after they started humming in the early 50s. Without exception, the cooperation between the teams sent from Los Alamos and the support staff at the respective sites was exemplary. Well, now I come to the last part, dealing with the computer research and utilization program at Los Alamos. In 1946, Stan Frankel and I joined the faculty of the University of Chicago. But the plans of President Hutchins to expand the scientific effort were sufficiently ambitious so as to considerably delay the construction of several buildings whose existence was a necessary condition to our starting computing activities. In 1948, Carson Mark, head of the theoretical division, proposed that a computer research effort be started at Los Alamos and invited me to have a try. Good computer engineers were a rare commodity in those days. They were gradually evolving at about the same rate as cyclotron engineers. It seemed sensible to follow in the footsteps of the project at the Institute for Advanced Study, then in its third year. And accordingly, arrangements were made with von Neumann, and in particular with Julian Bigelow. Since it is always easier to duplicate than to design ab initio, a copy of the arithmetic processor was made in good time. Our engineering staff by then included Dick Merwin, Howard Parsons, Jim Richardson, Howard Demuth, Walter Orbidal, and Ed Klein. The development of the cathode ray Williams storage tube at Princeton was more time-consuming than expected. Now, owing to the fact that Jim Richardson had some preliminary experience with that approach at the University of Toronto, we decided to pursue an independent course for our memory system, using a 2-inch tube rather than the 5-inch considered by Princeton. We then went on to plan an independent control system and vocabulary, a quite distinct input-output, including photoelectric paper tape reader, quarter-inch magnetic tape typewriter, 10,000-word magnetic drum, and a line printer, Analex Model 1. The inclusion of electromechanical devices led to the oracular pronouncement, wherever electromechanics can be replaced by electronics, do so. And this echoes what Arthur Burke said earlier. Debugging and testing were completed in early March of 1952, and the first scientific computations were started. The exhilaration and satisfaction derived from watching the neon lights flickering their way through the calculation was more than compensated for by the frustrations, delays, and long hours on the way. Published reports of the technical details have been made available. Now began the long process of preparing a subroutine library, including aids such as tracer routines. For this, as well as for programming assistants, Bob Bivens, Lois Cook, Marge Jones, Don Bradford, Elaine Alley, Mary Tsingu were on our staff. Led on by John Jackson, studies were begun on assembly languages, and an assembler was produced. Eugene Herbst and friends made frequency distributions of vocabulary usage from a comprehensive spectrum of computational problems. Mark Wells et al. Launched the MATCAP studies that led to a high-level language and compiler. A parenthetical note may be inserted here that may help reduce further confusion in the literature. MENIAC was the name of the Los Alamos computer and not the name of the Princeton computer. That computer was identified as the Institute for Advanced Study Computer with the acronym IAS. MENIAC 2 is a successor started in 1955 here, and MENIAC 3 was developed at the University of Chicago a few years later. The problems of the laboratory rapidly took the lion's share of the available time. Some of the individuals with hands on the computer included Bob Rickmeyer, the Rosenbluths, Roger Lazarus, Lothard Nordheim, and the Edward Tellers. In addition, a variety of unclassified problems were run to test the adequacy of the vocabulary as well as for their intrinsic interest. Among these, first and foremost, was Fermi, with his pion-proton phase shift analysis, along with the nonlinear minimization problems that has led to much research in applied mathematics. Interacting with such a master was perhaps the most satisfying experience of all. Then Ulam and Pasta collaborated with Fermi on the problem of nonlinear coupled oscillators with their totally unexpected results that provoked a global outpouring of just barely countable publications. Led on by Gamow, we did some of the early numerical experiments on the genetic code. Anthony Turkovich and I were to initiate studies on nuclear cascades to study the interaction of high-energy particles on heavy nuclei using Monte Carlo techniques. John von Neumann instructed us on how to attack two-dimensional flow of two incompressible fluids under gravitational and hydrodynamic forces. Edward Teller, with obvious delight at gaining access to a marvelous toy, stimulated us greatly as we tried to learn about equations of state for substances consisting of interacting individual molecules using a modified Monte Carlo technique on a two-dimensional rigid sphere model. Paul Stein investigated a series of problems in the quite different direction of discrete mathematics with emphasis on combinatorial theory. The first ideas on significance arithmetic were to emerge in that period. Mark Wells et al. Prepared the first program to develop a strategy for anti-clerical chess. This was on a 6x6 board with the bishops removed. That experience was not only highly amusing, but had many implications for games of strategy. Last but not least, Stan Ulam and company introduced the notion of lucky numbers, a generalization of the ordinary prime numbers with many similar properties. These are, of course, merely samples of the studies identified with the maniac. They illustrate the rather wide spectrum of interest, and each was to stimulate further intensive studies elsewhere where the related publications can best be measured in hundredweight. It is perhaps worthwhile mentioning that the problem originators interacted directly with the computer, with the eventual achievement of interactive capabilities, and most importantly, high-level languages, there may be a return to what, in retrospect, seem like halcyon days. Thank you very much.
This paper is open to discussion.
Tomomoto, Brookhaven National Laboratory. I would like to add a very brief footnote to the maniac story. In 1956, Brookhaven decided to make a copy of the Maniac 2 machine. I think the only noteworthy thing about this adventure was the proposed name for the machine. Obviously, we weren't allowed to use Maniac. At one party, beloved Moore Flanders proposed that, inasmuch as Willie Higginbottom was responsible for the construction of the machine, they would call it Willie Higginbottom's old reliable engine.
Jack Worlton from Los Alamos. With 2020 hindsight, it seems clear it would have been an advantage to have the IAS family of machines program compatible. And yet, as I understand, they were not program compatible. Can you say why that was not done?
Well, I'm afraid that that was a bit early in the developmental stage to think of such nice features. And secondly, I think it's an innate characteristic of at least most of the electronic engineers I have known that they'd rather do something wrong than to try to copy someone else.